shouting Mackenzie's name, or hear the haunting tune of Sought of You, and our insides tremble with hope. Our dream is awakened. Such is the burden of being alive. How could we dare run the risk? There is no pain more bitter than the death of a deep dream, and no dread as terrible as its awakening without hope. But what if Papa is real? What if Jesus is passionate that we know his Father with him? What if the Holy Spirit is determined that we live in the freedom of Papa's embrace? Lewis was a rare academic who harnessed his great mind in the service of his heart's pain, until at last he was surprised by joy. As such, his writings sing the song of the longing heart. He knows about our dream, and he knows the truth. He was aware of almost committing an indecency, he says, in bringing up our inconsolable secret. But how can a man who's met Jesus' Papa be silent? As a boy in Ireland, Lewis was smitten by an encounter too beautiful for words. It was only a fleeting moment, but it was real. And in a certain sense, he says, everything else that had ever happened to me was insignificant in comparison. Thankfully, he could never let it go, and his whole life became a long quest to discover what that encounter and others like it in his youth were all about. He came to call them stabs of joy. A stab because it hurt, and joy because even the pain of the stab was better than anything else in life. But what was it that Lewis encountered? What were these stabs of joy? What is our inconsolable secret? What exactly is our dream all about? It has to do with Papa's smile, and Lewis has written beautifully about it. In his famous sermon, now an essay published separately as The Weight of Glory, one of the finest sermons ever penned, you can find three profound insights into our inconsolable dream. The first we might call the desire to be baptized. I don't mean baptism in the sense of water of the church sacrament. I mean baptism in the sense of being immersed in something to the point of being utterly filled with it. Lewis is writing about beauty, the simple pleasure of seeing something beautiful, and how in seeing it we want more. And this wanting more is surely part of what awakens in our hearts as we read about Papa's embrace. We do not want merely to see beauty, though God knows even that is bounty enough. We want something else which can hardly be put into words, to be united with the beauty we see, to pass into it, to receive it into ourselves, to bathe in it, to become part of it. That is why we have peopled air and earth and water with gods and goddesses and nymphs and elves, that though we cannot, yet these projections can enjoy in themselves that beauty, grace, and power of which nature is the image. That is why the poets tell us such lovely falsehoods. They talk.